time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones who make it right, so let's start giving.
Welcome, welcome. Hi, everyone. I'm Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World. Our second theme, Healthy Aging. What a beautiful song. The song falls right into what we're going to talk about is we are the world, and we want a peaceful world. Our first guest will be Vaise Fontaine, talking about the world beyond wars. Vaise is a director of Office of the Americas, and this new committee is really doing some great things. It's going to really do a lot of good things. Then we're going to have on a spokesperson for PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, to talk about the slaughtering of the seals. Now, if you like our show, we're on every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check the other shows in the past on the archives. And for those of you or your friends, let the world know that they can also hear this show on your phone. Here's the number that people can call to hear the show on your phone. Area 712-432-7231, or on the internet, prn.fm. Let's get to our first guest. Vaise Fontaine is a longtime activist, director of Office of the Americas, has been at this quite a while. He's one of the mainstays, and he's one of the key persons of a new group called World Beyond Wars. Welcome to the show, Vaise.
Thanks, Bobby. It's good to be here.
Yes, you were on about 2 months ago and did a great job, and things are progressing. Tell our listeners about the group, World Beyond Wars, and some of the things that are going on right now, please.
Well, we're very happy about the new website, which is just that, worldbeyondwar.org. And we set it up thinking that it appears that people around the world are sick and tired of war. War is absolutely unnecessary, counterproductive, disgraceful. It's made up of murder, rape, lies, and it has no place in a civilized society. Now, the response we've had has been fairly well viral from around the globe, and we're extremely happy about that. But let's just speak locally for a minute. That is, by locally, I mean the United States. Starting next Friday, April 4th, there is going to be a new wave of action. That's the day that they killed Dr. King. That's the day that Cindy Sheehan lost her son. The day the cherry blossoms and resistors to fascism begin to show after an endless winter of many years. So what's happening now is a return to Zuccotti Park in New York. And that's only a part of it. The movement has grown rapidly. And as you know, the original Occupy was simply the kickoff. That was simply the beginning by occupying the park and occupying for many, many weeks the City Hall here in Los Angeles. That was the opening statement of Occupy. Since that time, they've been working very avidly on the problem of homelessness and war, and the idea is to lift up the poor and to have a preferential option for the poor. The notion of these gatherings starting Friday, April 4th, is to shift priorities and to say no to war, and no to the fact that while the claim that they're lessening military spending money, that's really not true. The spending on nuclear war has increased dramatically, and we're not surprised, because here we are in 152 nations. We have troops around the world, and we are not being well received. People are not happy. We keep hearing Yankee go home from Okinawa and all the other places that we're located. The country is, they say, basically broke, but they're claiming the Defense Department makes us safer. I don't see there's any sign of that. So the movement has been extremely successful in stopping the missiles into Syria in September, and the educational work it's been doing has been very, very impressive. The halting of an attack on Iran, which was entirely unnecessary. There's no need for that whatsoever. And we've been rather successful, I think, in getting this point across. So the earth is dying, and one of the things we want to do is to pull together two movements which are strangely separate. That is the environmental movement and the peace movement. And there's reasons for that. The environmental movement is highly funded by some very wealthy people and wealthy corporations, and we're pleased about that. But the problem is the people funding the environmental movement are not anxious to fund a no war or abolish war movement. So there is that tension between the two, in spite of the fact that military spending is the greatest threat to the environment. The military at peace is the biggest threat to the environment of the world. The military at war and this planet are not compatible. It does not work. You can't have nuclear weapons going off and have this planet. So you either consider a nonviolent future or a non-existence, as Dr. King said. So this spring is going to be extremely active throughout the world. We're very, very proud of that. Now, April 4th is also the beginning day of NATO, 1949, April 4th. We'll celebrate that on Friday. We'll celebrate it as something that should definitely be abolished. NATO was established to circumvent the UN, to get around it by having us operate a multi-nation group in spite of what the UN was set up to do. So we are in favor of disbanding NATO and working for reform in the UN system so it can fulfill its peacemaking mission without this archaic reliance on competitive regional military alliances. So we have to do that. We have to remove our missiles from Poland, Romania, Turkey, and negotiate the space weapons ban, which China and Russia repeatedly proposed, and which only the U.S. blocked for several years in the U.N.'s Committee on Disarmament in Geneva. So these are all jobs that have to be done. We are violating the Non-Proliferation Treaty, because that treaty was designed to end the nuclear threat, not to see it expand. And we've been using the word modernization. Does that mean increasing the power of these nukes? Modernization, the greatest threat to the United States is nuclear accident. We've had so many accidents that there are at least three or four or more books on all the accidents we've had already. We found the people operating the silos totally incompetent. Some of them had to be thrown out of the service. We simply cannot continue. These nukes are like Holocaust ovens, but they're far more powerful, and they're totally indiscriminate ovens that just burn up everybody, a million or 10 million at a time. So we have to wake up, and I think what we're finding is the only people not awake are those who are in charge. Our citizens are aware of this. The citizens of the world are aware of it. And the beat goes on because selfish interests want to make money on weapons that can destroy the planet. And this is something that we simply cannot tolerate. So we have to get this message across.
Please.
You know, President Obama spoke this past week to the European community, magnificent turnout there, and he spoke about how we didn't interfere with the boundaries, the national boundaries of Iraq, and it became actually almost a circus-like, ridiculous statement. We didn't interfere with the national boundaries. We just killed everybody and destroyed the country. We started that in 1991, and it has not stopped to the present, and now Iraqis are killing each other because of those who supported us and those who did not support us fighting each other. And the war goes on. It started in 91. It didn't just start after 9/11. It started with the Elder Bush, and it has continued through the Clinton administration to the present, and the country is destroyed. So,
please, I wanted to ask you about something else here. First of all, I want to let our listeners know my name is Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world, and I'm speaking to Blaise Bonpain, the director of Office of the Americas, longtime anti-war and peace advocate, and also a member of the new group that we're talking about, World Beyond Wars. And thank you, Blaise, for introducing me to the group, and I have become a member of the group, and it's a great group. Now, I want to speak to you, ask you about this heads of 31 countries that got together in Cuba, and they formed a peace zone. And they're doing some great things, this particular group, and it's a part of this is some of the work and some of the things that the committee World Beyond Wars is definitely backing up. Can you talk about that?
We're just
the zone.
Very excited about that development, Bobby, because of the extreme importance of this happening. Now, all of the hemisphere has come out in support of the government of Venezuela. This is absolutely unbelievable. Our press has been at its worst on the issue of Venezuela. They drag out dusty old oligarchs from Washington's so-called right-wing think tanks who supporting the oligarchy of Venezuela. Well, what about the rest of Latin America? They are supporting the government of Venezuela. They are not in favor of the upper class so-called revolution, which was created by the National Endowment for Democracy, which is listed as a non-governmental organization, but is really a governmental organization that is used to develop opposition in countries that we don't support. They were present in the Ukraine for many, many years prior to the so-called Ukrainian Revolution. They've been present in Venezuela from before the time that they had tried to overthrow Chavez in 2002, and the people put him right back in office after we recognized the businessman that we put in to take his place. So it's about time we realize how out of step we are. And we're so proud of both Oliver Stone and Mark Weisbrot for publishing an article in the Boston Globe last week, making it clear that the lopsided, not only this new organization of which you're speaking, but this is unbelievable what happened. The vote in the Organization of American States, that's the OAS, which had its central was centralized for years in Washington at the Pan American Union. 29 out of the 32 countries not only rejected Washington's attempt to get the OAS to intervene in Venezuela, but to add insult to injury, passed a resolution expressing their solidarity with the government of President Nicolas Maduro. It's hard to imagine a more resounding diplomatic defeat in a body where the U.S. government still has quite a disproportionate
Place, there's been a lot of protests and actually killings on both sides of the clashes that are going on in Venezuela. Can you tell our listeners why that is and what's been happening with that whole how this started, this little mini war going on?
Well, ever since Hugo Chavez came in, from the time of his death onward, we've been trying to overthrow that government, in spite of the fact that over 15 elections have been done in Venezuela since the coming of Hugo Chavez and now Maduro, and Jimmy Carter, who checks elections, made the amazing statement that Venezuela has the best electoral process in the world, that it is fault-free, and that we have to pay attention to what they're saying. But we don't like what Venezuela is doing, and we don't tolerate anyone to differ with us. So the administration, our administration, seems almost surrealistically unaware that this is a different hemisphere than it was 15 years ago. The governments representing the majority of Latin America now could be categorized, I don't like the word, but could be categorized as left. That would include Brazil, Argentina, Ecuador, Bolivia, Uruguay, Venezuela, and then that's in South America. El Salvador just reelected a former rebel from the FMLN in Central America. Nicaragua has the FSLN president, Daniel Ortega. These governments emphatically reject Washington's depiction of recent events in Venezuela as a government trying to repress peaceful protesters. And we have to look at the statements of those countries, and they've formed whole new blocks like Mercosur, the Union of South American Nations. They share Maduro's view of the protests. And actually, the killings have mainly been by the protesters. We have the data on that. This is something that we've seen before. Here we have even President Michelle Bachelet of Chile, who was reluctant to criticize Washington, as many others were. She used the word destabilization to describe the protests, and they see that Washington's once again using its muscle to support this effort. We saw this in Chile prior to the coming of Augusto Pinochet Ugarte. There were right-wing people in the street supporting the coming of the dictatorship and the overthrow of one of the greatest statesmen in the history of Latin America, physician Dr. Salvador Allende. He had great ideas, many of them very similar to those of Hugo Chavez. And he was overthrown by I'm not saying this accusatively, but realistically, he was overthrown by the Nazi lodge of Chile in the form of Pinochet, who ruled for, 15, 16, 17 years with our support. We've done this before. We think it's very similar to what's going on in Ukraine. And this is why we feel it's so necessary to avoid this type of manipulated conflict. I think what this shows is the absolute isolation of the Beltway in Washington. These people in Washington make up the truth as they want. They create it, they define the truth, and they're wrong most of the time. This week, when President Obama spoke in Europe, this is unbelievable. All of the countries were there. Everybody listened carefully. There was no clapping. There was no applause. In fact, I'm told we heard some hissing and some boos. Washington is out of touch with the rest of the world, and as like a dying monster in a way, is going to lash out, and I hope it doesn't lash out with nukes that will destroy us all. This is a very critical moment, and it's time for Washington to understand that it is out of step with the rest of the world. It's very clear if we just observe what's going on and we listen to the media sounds like a joke. And this includes the new Al Jazeera, who again brings in dusty old oligarchs, some people that have been in academia for 50 years and died with tenure years ago, is talking about the threat of the government of Venezuela to the people of Venezuela. You go through the slums of Venezuela today, you won't hear any protesting. It's not there. So
right.
The rest of the hemisphere is going to oppose any attempt by the U.S. to put a small number of protesters led by right-wing politicians on an equal footing with democratically elected government. That's what's happening.
Blaise, let's shift gears. I'm speaking to Blaise Fontaine, longtime activist, and we're speaking about the new group War, World Beyond Wars, and we're speaking about different things going on around the world. There's a thing, Ukraine and Russia, and the presidents of the United States and Russia have been trying to do something. Recently, there was a peace deal put together, an East-West peace deal of some kind. Can you give us the information on that, please?
Well, I really don't have all of the details on it, except that this is the beginning of some kind of diplomacy, which is needed.
Right.
Instead of simply throwing rocks at Mr. Putin, we can't get over the idea that this is a football game and we're going to cheer for our side and we're going to beat the other side. This is not a football game. We don't support either side. There's a very common phrase used in logic. It's called bifurcation. And it means you divide things into two, and you say, now, which are you for? Are you for Putin or are you for Obama? And it's a fallacy in logic to do that, because there aren't two choices. There are 257,000 choices, and the best of them is diplomacy and to talk to each other about the history of the Crimea, the 1,000-year-old history of the Ukraine, its relation to the present Russia, its former relation to the Soviet Union, what the people want, how they're going to get it, who is attempting to get power in Ukraine, who they are, what they represent. When you hear a rabbi in the Ukraine telling the Jewish people they better get out, we know that there we have a tremendous amount of honest-to-God anti-Semitism. I don't mean the false anti-Semitism that we hear so much, that half the Jewish people in the world are being called anti-Semites by Premier Netanyahu. When he spoke to AIPAC recently, he spoke against boycott, divest, the program, and he called the people involved in divest, sanctions, movement, anti-Semites. Well, that includes millions of Jewish people are being called anti-Semites because they support the boycott of Israel in view of what it's doing to the Palestinian people. So this is a very serious situation there, and certainly peace accords are called for. What the issues at the peace accords are at this moment, I do not know. I would like to know, and I hope they're substantive instead of this silly 50-year-old red baiting that's beginning to go on again now, as if we were dealing with the Soviet Union in the post-World War II period. So we've got a lot of waking up to do. You're not allowed to define the truth from your own political perspective. That has nothing to do with truth. People like Edward Snowden have proven that.
Right. Blaise, let me shift gears to another issue. The drones are the United States has sent drones all over to Pakistan and other places, and they're killing not only innocent people, but children, and it's just been terrible. And now there's threats that the drones are going to be circulating around the United States. Can you tell our listeners about what you know about that?
Well, the spring days of action to end drone killing are beginning now. They're going to begin April 4th. This is an international call for spring days of action to end drone killing, drone surveillance of the global world. The campaign is going to focus on drone bases, drone research facilities, test sites, and drone manufacturers. Why? Because the suffering of tens of thousands of people in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, and Gaza, who are under drone attack, documenting the killing, the wounding, the devastating impact of constant drone surveillance on community life, and how attack on and surveillance drones have become a key element in the massive wave of surveillance, clandestine military attacks, and militarization generated by our country to protect a global system of manufacture and oil and mineral exploitation. It's creating unemployment, poverty, accelerating the waste of non-renewable resources, and contributing to the environmental destruction and global warming. So this is a very serious issue. Recently, in fact, last week, the United States was listed as number four in executions. China was first, followed by Iraq, followed by Iran, and then fourth was the United States. I was talking to David Swanson yesterday about this, and he said, well, if we counted the drone executions, we'd be number one in capital punishment. And this is without any trial, without any hearing. We just make a list, and the president supports this list, and even in a certain way seemed to be bragging about it, saying, I'm a pretty good killer. This is entirely unacceptable behavior. And the world is not happy about it, and we are recklessly endangering the people of the United States by our behavior. People are not happy to have their homes broken into, to have their families savaged, to have their future destroyed, and to see women and children massacred around the world. We are endangering, our policy is endangering the people of the United States terribly. And it wouldn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. We should understand it immediately. You don't attack people around the world and expect to get off scot-free.
Let's talk about the April 4th events. These are going to be happening. The committee that you're on and you invited me on there is World Beyond Wars. On April 4th, which is a Friday, there's going to be events in various parts of the country. Place or how? Okay, and this is going to be promoted by World Beyond Wars, right?
They're one of the promoters. We have so many. I mean, there's the campaign includes people from the from Canada, Canadian Women for Peace, the Catholic Worker, the New York Coalition to Ground the Drones and End Wars. The amazing Code Pink and their leader, Medea Benjamin, who was just savagely beaten by thugs of the military in the dictatorship of Egypt. They dislocated her arm. She is still very sick and in pain. And they threw her on a plane contrary to the orders of a doctor who said she should not be moved. They shipped her to Turkey, and then finally she got back here to the United States. Behind this also are the Veterans for Peace. These are a group of our veterans, very special veterans, who believe in abolishing war. They're sick and tired of it, as the rest of the people of the world are. And as General Eisenhower said, we had better allow the people of the world to have peace.
And one of the veterans has put together a ride. He's going to be riding from Raleigh, North Carolina, to Washington, D.C., and he's asking for co-riders. If anybody wants to ride with him, beginning Sunday, April the 27th, you can check the website, World Beyond Wars, for more information. But that's another thing, a lot of little things happening, Blaise, with the committee that's really starting to open up.
We are very excited about what's going on, and it's very hard to list all the groups. We have Kathy Kelly's group, Voices for Creative Nonviolence, that has been so active in Afghanistan and here in the States in protest. We have Women Against Military Madness, and it is madness. It's insanity. It is sociopathic insanity that's going on here. We have Code Pink in Maine as well as in the other countries. We have the great work of Cindy Sheehan as part of this. We have No Drones in Wisconsin. We have World Can't Wait. Can't Wait for Peace. We have War is a Crime. These are groups all over the United States and outside of the United States. We have the great Anne Wright, a U.S. Army colonel, who has dedicated her life to making peace and was on board that ship that the Israelis attacked, and that our blessed Democratic congressman called the people on that ship the peace people. They called them subversives. They called them terrorists. This is right. How corrupt the Democratic Party has become. And here was one of the leaders of that group was a colonel in the Army, served greatly for years, and also worked in the State Department. Anne Wright, she's a great leader for peace at this time. The list goes on and on, you know. So the cry for peace is out there. And then, of course, the media will just say, oh, there is no peace movement. Thank you very much. You made that up on your way to work or what?
Yes, you're right.
Media is acting as though they will decide what is true. And they don't. And they're not. Mm. And it's up to us to make that clear. Someone the other day said, well, your group is not in the mainstream. And we said, of course not. The mainstream is polluted. It's polluted with militarism. It's polluted with greed. It's polluted with lies. Who would want to be in the mainstream? We want to be to take a path that has not been chosen so widely, a path toward peace. So that's
well, you know,
coming from.
You know, Blaise, we need to also keep a pressure on the media. I'm a former reporter for the L.A. Times, and I know the media is controlled by big, strong corporate interests, the Times, the radio stations. The only thing we have, a lot of us, is the social media network, but I want to really work on getting more people, more media outlets in the radio, TV, cable, and magazines, newspapers, and to hit hard. If we put pressure on these stations like Fox and some of the newspapers that Murdoch owns, if we put pressure on them, that's another thing that we can do, and I'd like to be a part of that, so I'm working on that. But we're winding on the show, Blaise. Could you give our listeners your information and the information about the group World Beyond Wars?
Well,
the contact information, please.
The website is simply World Beyond War, and that's .org, and our operation is simply officeoftheamericas.org. That's one word, officeoftheamericas.org. And our email is OOA, that's the letter O twice, OOA at IGC.org. That's OOA at I as in Island, G as in George, C as in cat.org. And organizations are massive, and thank God for the social media that we have ways of getting around the commercial media. When people in Europe
right.
hear Fox News, they almost think, well, this is a comedy show, isn't it? Are these people serious?
Yeah.
People babbling away about things they know nothing about, creating it as they go along, manufacturing consent, trying to manufacture truth, which is a lie, and they actually broadcast this stuff as if it was journalism. And it's not.
Right.
And that's visible on much of the commercial.
Lots of lies. Blaise, in 2 or 3 minutes, give us your final thoughts to motivate our listeners to not only join, be a part of this group and activities, but just give us your final thoughts.
We have to transcend many things. My latest book is called Imagine No Religion. Now, the first religion I want to deal with is U.S. exceptionalism. Now, that's a religion whereby we believe that our country has a right to kill anyone, anywhere, for any reason, and we're supposed to cheer when that happens, as we cheered the killing of the Indians, as we cheered the killing of the, quote, enemy in our wars. And this is a religious issue, and the military has its vestments, and all of this is actually a cult, and it's a dangerous cult of militarism. And it is a religion. The religiosity of war is what gets people to kill each other around the world. Our General Boykin, who is now representing one of the great Christian family movements in the country, told our troops that we were killing the devil in Iraq, that all the children in Iraq were the devil, all the people were the devil. Then representing the new Christian family movement, he said, when Jesus comes back, he'll have an automatic rifle in his mouth. He was talking about the apocalypse, which is, of course, a terribly symbolic book, final book in the Bible. And he said Jesus will come with blood on his robes and an automatic rifle in his mouth. This is a form of mental illness, but it is in the form of a cult. The cult is called militarism. It will destroy life on this planet. And we have to wake up to the fact that the nation state, as the terminus of sovereignty, is as outdated as the city states of old. We're not going to make it on this planet. The United States cannot stop the pollution of the ocean. The United States cannot stop the pollution of the air. The United States cannot stop global warming. Everything that has to be done today requires global, international attention, not the silliness of saying, we're number one, we're number one. We've lost everything that we've tried in recent years. What have we seen but losses in Korea, in Vietnam, in Central America, South America, the Orient, and to say nothing of the Middle East. And we're writhing around now trying to act as though we're number one because we have nukes and we're putting our money into nukes, which will be the very last act on this planet. So it's time to get out of our slumber, as St. Paul said. Now is the time to wake from slumber. Wake up. Realize that you're practicing a ridiculous religion of nationalism that has no future and a terrible past.
Great. Beautiful, Blaise. You do great work. You're just a wonderful human being that's been on the front lines in the quest against the war. Your group officer of the Americas is wonderful. Thank you so much for doing all that you do. Thanks for introducing me to the group. And I've been on the steering committee conference calls, and thanks to you. So thank you for being on the show, and we'll be looking forward to April the 4th.
My pleasure, Bobby. Keep up the good work. So long now.
Thank you. Wow, what a wonderful, lots of great information. This new group is really starting to hit the ground running. So remember, April the 4th, there's going to be events. I'm not sure exactly where, but check worldbeyondwar.org, and you will find the information about these events going on Friday, April the 4th, protesting what's going on with the drones, protesting... don't forget, that is also the same day that Dr. Martin Luther King died. We're going to celebrate that and all of his great work and how he was definitely, in the 60s, talked about how the United States was the cause of much violence against the wars. And that's also April 4th is the day that Cindy Sheehan lost her son and started her quest for against the wars. And she's been on the front line. And by the way, she's running for governor in the state of California. The election will be June the 3rd at Cindy Sheehan. All right, I'm Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. We're going to go to our next guest in a minute. Let me just make a couple announcements, reminding you that the genetically engineered foods are, there's an awareness campaign going on. There's a run across the country. A gentleman named Brett Wilcox and his son are are running across the country to bring awareness. It's a six-month run. They've already got 2 months down, and they're going to finish, I believe, in July in Atlantic City. They started in Huntington Beach, California, and they're, if you want to get information on that, runningthecountry.com. Check it out. Also, April the 4th, be sure to check worldbeyondwar.org. You'll get lots of information about what's going on Friday, April the 4th. If there's an event in your area, be sure to attend. If there's not one, check on the website to see if we can create one. We need to really, really get on that. All right, let's get to our next guest. This is what's going on with PETA. PETA is a group called People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. There's a lot of slaughtering going on of seals in Canada and in the oceans. And we have a spokesperson, Emily Lavender, I believe her name is. And are you there? Hello?
Yes, hi.
Emily, how are you? Good to hear from you. Okay, tell our friends, first of all, what is People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA?
Well, PETA is the world's largest animal rights organization. And basically, what we do is we focus on the areas where the most the largest number of animals are being abused in the most horrific ways. So we focus on the meat industry, animals used for clothing, animals used for entertainment, and animals used for experimentation. And basically, we're just exposing these industries so that people can make choices that cause the least harm towards animals, such as not eating or wearing animals.
Right. Before we get into what we're going to talk about, I wanted to let you know that, Emily, that I was at a demonstration in Beverly Hills against the fur industry, because on Rodeo Drive and adjoining streets in Beverly Hills, there's about 30 stores that at the time, this was about 4 or 5 months ago, were carrying fur. And we went there very strong, about 50 or 60 activists, people that cared, people with signs, and we went up and down Rodeo Drive and other major streets in Beverly Hills protesting. We went right up to the stores and right up to the windows. And it was, the police were, of course, on the street, but it was a peaceful demonstration. PETA is a wonderful organization doing lots of work, not only in this country, but around the world. But let's get to your story about the seals that are being killed in Canada. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, so every spring, seals migrate down the east coast of Canada from Greenland to give birth on the ice floes. And when when the babies are about 2 weeks old, they start losing their white fur. And between 2 weeks and 3 months of age, sealers or commercial fishermen, go out onto the ice floes and basically club them to death or shoot them. But of course, it's out on the ice, so one bullet won't exactly kill them right away, and they'll get shot through the face. They'll be basically choking on their blood and basically writhing in pain until they're finally clubbed to death. So, and it's all for fur. It's all for the fur trade. And the thing is, though, that the demand for seal fur has plummeted to the point that Canada's annual massacre of tens of thousands of these baby seals is costing the Canadian government about $7 million a year in subsidies. And that's why PETA is taking its battle against this barbaric activity straight to the Consulate General of Canada in Los Angeles this coming Monday, and as well as the Canadian Embassy in Washington, D.C., April 10th, and there is going to be a demonstration in Ottawa, Canada's capital, on April 30th, Tax Day, to kind of bring attention to the tax waste around the seal slaughter.
Good. So there's going to be demonstrations in Los Angeles, Ottawa, which is in Canada, and Washington, D.C., coming up in the next few weeks, starting with Monday. Is that the 30th or 31st of March? And that'll be in Los Angeles. I'm going to continue, but tell our listeners where they can get information on that.
You can visit our website at PETA.org. You can also, specifically for our seal slaughter campaign, you can go to canadasshame.com, find out how you can help. We're encouraging people to write the Canadian Embassy, write the Prime Minister of Canada, and just basically show your support for an end to the seal slaughter. And it's carrying people all over the world that has really seen this industry really, really plummet. The EU, US, Mexico, Taiwan, and most recently Russia have all banned seal products. This is what is really going to see an end to the seal hunt, is really these compassionate people in these countries that are urging their governments to ban these products. And Canada's going to have no one to sell it to. Already it's virtually a dead industry, and it's only surviving because the government is giving millions of dollars in subsidies every year.
And all this has to do because PETA is one of the strongest groups there, especially in Canada, and against the fur industry. They've been in the front line, and around the world, things are starting to get better then, is what you're saying, Emily, right, as far as compassionate people coming together, protesting, and going to the governments and telling them to stop these people that are killing all these beautiful seals. Is that what's going on, Emily?
Yeah, absolutely. Russia, which recently banned seal products, had been importing 95% of all Canadian seal pelts. The Canadian government is spending an estimated $10 million to fight the European Union ban on seal products. So, yeah, it is compassionate people that have been speaking out that it's really making a difference. It's clear that it's making a difference. That it's people who are, you know, writing to the Canadian embassy or writing their own government that's seeing a drop in the amount of baby seals that are, you know, clubbed to death every year.
And, besides the seals in Canada, so this has been happening in various parts of the world, right, as far as the killing of the seals, is that right?
There are seal culls, seal slaughters in other parts of the world as well. I believe Namibia is a big one. Canada's seal slaughter was considered the largest massacre of marine mammals on the planet several years ago, but ever since Russia and the European Union have banned seal products, it's I don't know if it's the biggest one anymore. It's barely going on still. They're down to tens of thousands of baby seals rather than hundreds of thousands as they were years ago.
Great. Okay, as we finish up with our little segment here, Emily, could you read back the information of how people can help, the websites and what people can do to help out?
Yeah, you can visit PETA.org directly for the seal slaughter. You can visit our website, canadasshame.com. There's many ways you can help out there. We'll show you easy ways through social media that you can help out, as well as writing or emailing the Canadian Embassy, as well as the Prime Minister of Canada, and you can find that online as well.
Great. Well, you're really working hard on the animals as far as the seals and the slaughter going on. And that's PETA. For those that want to keep track, that's People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA.org. And the other one is Canada's Shame?
Canada's Shame, yeah.
SCHAME.com, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Okay, great. Well, Emily, thank you so much for coming on. I want to have you or another spokesperson from PETA to talk about the overall activities around the world and around this country as to what PETA is really doing besides the furs. I know animal cruelty is such a thing that's really more compassionate people are getting together on this. As a matter of fact, I believe your group is going to be at the World Fest in Los Angeles on Sunday, May the 18th. I believe PETA's going to have a booth there, and I'll be announcing that, and we'll probably have PETA on again right before that event. But
But Emily, thank you so much for your great work and the helping inform us about what's going on with the SEAL. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right, let's get to finish up the show in the next few minutes. I want to let you know that 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a show. That's Saturday, April the 12th. And Dr. Wendy Traynor is going to be on. She and myself are going to be talking about happiness. Happiness is one of my favorite subjects. We're going to talk about how people can live longer by being happy, at peace, living a good life, enjoying themselves, being positive, being with family, enjoying nature. Those people live longer. The ones who live less time are the opposites. We're talking about people that are depressed, anxiety, always saying negative things. It's really, really bad. You ever see older people, you ever see an older man with a scowl on his face? He's like, why is a scowl on his face? Because he's been angry for so long. And we're going to talk about how you can live longer by being happy. And I'm going to give you a little taste of that right now because I've got about 2 or 3 minutes left before we finish the show. Happiness starts with you. It starts with you changing your life by getting up in the morning and being grateful for what you have and not what you don't have. And by telling yourself good things, not letting things get to you. Don't let the stress of the world and of the family and the friends attack you and take you apart. Stress and mourning and being unhappy, what it does in your system is it affects your cells, it affects your immune system, and eventually causes diseases. We want to do the opposite. We're going to talk about on the show about how you can walk into a park, how you can take your shoes off and ground yourself by walking, how you can go out, you should go out and do all the things that you love to do, such as exercise, yoga, dance, culture, music, attend shows, be with loved ones, be with family. That's happiness. That's a life that's to be lived for a long time. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to give examples of it. Be sure to hear that show Saturday, the 12th of April, and that'll be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Wendy Traynor will be on with myself to talk about that. Be sure to hear that part of the show. That's so important so we can teach our people and help us all stay healthier. I am a longtime activist against the war. That's why we had Blake Spontane on earlier. I was a young kid back in the 70s, and most of us were in college and high school, and we didn't like the fact that the Vietnam War was so bad, and this is why Dr. Martin Luther King said war is violence. It's back in the 60s he said that. I used to watch the Civil Rights Movement. I grew up in a diverse community, and we went against the war in the Vietnam War because I noticed that too many Latinos were being killed in the front lines of Vietnam, and it was just terrible. We got more medals than anyone, Latinos did, especially Mexican-Americans. And I was in that group, and we started a campaign to stop that, a diverse campaign. I helped start a campaign to teach young men all over the country to resist the draft, not go in the draft, go to jail for a day or two, get away. And we did that, and we were very successful. So I'm looking forward to April the 4th, to where we can celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King's death, where we can celebrate Cindy Sheehan for the time that she lost her son to war. We're going to celebrate a shift to new things, and we're going to say no against all wars. That's Friday, April the 4th. Be sure to check out the website worldbeyondwar.org, O-R-G. This is so important to do. Now, we're going to wrap up the show, so I want to thank all of the people that helped put this show together. I want to thank the producer in New York, Jason. I want to thank the wonderful engineer that helped put this, put everything together here for us in the New York studio of GaryNoll.com. That is Melissa. I want to thank our L.A. producer here on the West Coast, Jimmy D., who's done a lot of work over the last year since we've had this show. I want to thank associate producer, Stuart Hassel. He's been a gem just over the last few weeks, getting more and more research, more information on what's going on with all the people that we get on the show. Thank you, Stuart. I want to thank all of you, all the listeners that came on and listened to this show. I want to thank our two guests today, Blaise Fontaine from the Office of the Americas, and I want to thank Emily Lavender from PETA. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll be on again next week at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, we are the world.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life. The greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.